You're listening to The Point. We're talking with Sam Lowe about his book, Hawaiki Rising, Hukulea, Nainoa Thompson, and the Hawaiian Renaissance. 866-999-4626 if you'd like to join the conversation. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Let's talk a little bit more about Nainoa. Now, he was so dedicated to learning about the sky, and he, as you're saying, he was teaching himself. When he gets back, when they get back from that trip from Tahiti to Hawaii, he continues to try and teach himself. And I love the story where he's asleep in a field. A police officer comes up and he's like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
And, you know, they think he's, you know, drunk or whatever. Yeah. And it's really, he was looking at the sky.
Yeah. Well, Nainoa, in his self-training, decided to create a star compass of little pen lights. And so he created this circle that was the length of Hokulea, which is 62 feet, with little pen lights marking every point on the star compass, 32 of them, on little sticks. And then he would sit in the middle of this circle, so these glowing pen lights at night, and he would observe the stars rising and setting, and he'd memorize them. And then he would go to sleep in a sleeping bag in the middle of the circle. And one night, a policeman came out to this park. It was in a park. And he sees this glowing circle of pen lights. He sees this bag with a body in it.
Right.
And he comes up with his flashlight and pokes it. And Nainoa wakes up. And the guy says, "What are you doing here?" And Nainoa says, "I'm studying the stars." And that didn't go over very well. But gradually they understood what was going on, and they would the policemen in the Hawaii Kai station would come down at night and park their prowl cars and hang out with Nainoa, learn some stars, share some coffee and donuts.
I love that. You can just see him sitting there, you know, the police officers come in, sitting down next to him and watching this guy.
Exactly.
He also used a museum planetarium to study Polynesian navigation.
That was a touch of genius.
That was so brilliant.
Yeah. There was a gentleman there who was the planetarium lecturer, Will Koselka, and Nainoa called him and asked if he could come in and could they do some experiments. What Nainoa had in mind was that if they used the planetarium and they made imaginary voyages between Hawaii and Tahiti and back, then they could observe how the stars moved at different latitudes. And Nainoa had no idea what he might discover in this kind of virtual voyage. But they would go 1 degree at a time, then they would let the stars rise and set, another degree south, let them rise and set, another degree south, and let them rise and set. So basically he's recreating in sped up time the kinds of voyages that his ancestors would have made over thousands of years. It was brilliant, and it turned out to reveal all kinds of secrets of the sky.
Right. So now the decision is made to make this trip again. The next effort, though, ends in disaster with the death of one of the crew members.
Right. Actually, I get emotional about this part of it because there was a decision to take off to go back to Tahiti. The crew was not particularly well prepared. The leadership in charge of the Voyaging Society figured, well, we've done it before, we can do it again. They didn't have an escort boat, which they had on the first voyage, which they always have now. They set off in a storm. Within 12 hours, the canoe had capsized, and it was a raging, awful storm. It was 50 knots of wind. There were 12-foot-high swells. The canoe capsized, and Eddie Aikau, who is an icon among all Hawaiians, decided that he had to set out on a surfboard and had to paddle 12 miles to a nearby island in this storm to save his crew. He was a famous lifeguard. Mm-hmm. He was a lifeguard of a beach called Waimea, the biggest surf in the world. He'd gone out 500 times on record to save people and came back 500 times and saved them. He had to go, and he did. Mm-hmm. He departed. And he was never seen again. And it was a major turning point. It was a horrible blow for the Polynesian Voyaging Society. Lose any life.
Right.
Any life, but much less Eddie.
Yeah. And really, it's amazing that they didn't all die. And I mean, when you read the story about, you know, they were out there for quite a while.
They were out there for 36 hours. Yeah. They were all going into, many of them were going into shock. There was hypothermia. And it was just a lucky thing that one of the airliners that traveled from the Big Island to Oahu happened to take off late, happened to modify their flight plan, happened to fly a little bit lower, happened to finally see the canoe in the sea below and send out helicopters. Yeah.
So,
but that was a turning point in the Voyaging Society. That was a moment in which Nainoa's father, Pinky mm-hmm. Thompson, took over the director mm-hmm. as director of the Voyaging Society and determined that that would never, ever, ever happen again and that the secret to success was in preparation. Mm-hmm. And he brought in a whole new philosophy of right. voyaging.
But as this happens, though, I mean, everybody's in mourning and can't believe it. And especially Nainoa, who really was...
He was a very good...
Grief-stricken.
And yeah. a very good friend of
yes. Eddie's. And but then Nainoa sort of got this realization that we have to go. We don't want Eddie's
right.
death to be in
we know
vain.
Exactly,
we,
yeah.
we have to go.
Hawaiians
to
always
realize
failed.
His dream.
Hawaiians yeah, yeah. always failed. And here they had done it again. Mm-hmm. They had failed. So if the legacy of voyaging was once again in failure, then Hokulea's purpose would have been completely defeated. So his father took over the management of the Polynesian Voyaging Society. He was a very well-known, well-respected Hawaiian. And Nainoa committed himself to studying and learning and to actually navigating the canoe himself mm-hmm. between Hawaii and Tahiti, the first Hawaiian ever to do it in 1,000 years. You can imagine what a decision that was, that if he failed,
right.
if he failed, the whole thing would have failed.
Yeah, and he struggles with that. You yeah. know, he really struggles with that. So Nainoa says, I need to find Mao.
Yes.
And now Mao said, don't come looking for
well,
me.
Well, actually, his father said, okay, Nainoa, he had a meeting and they said, we're going back to Tahiti, and we're going to do it right this time. We're going to prepare everybody. That we're going to choose our crews carefully. We're not going to go in a storm. Mm-hmm. We're going to modify the canoe so that the hulls are more watertight. They won't ship water so well. We're going to train. But he looked at Nainoa and said, and if you want to navigate, who's your teacher?
Mm-hmm.
And so he basically told Nainoa, you've got to have Mao. Without Mao, we don't go.
Mm-hmm.
So Nainoa got an airplane, went to Saipan, where Mao happened. Mao lives in this little tiny island called Satawal, but there's a settlement of Micronesians in Saipan. Flew to Saipan, knocked on Mao's door. They spent time together. Nainoa told Mao what he was going to do. Mao understood the risk. He understood the importance of this for the Hawaiian culture. He said to Nainoa, we'll see, when Nainoa invited him, come back. And so Nainoa returned to Hawaii, not knowing whether his great teacher would return. He spent 3 or 4 months continuing to sit in his star compass, to go to sea at night himself, to train himself. And then he got a phone call.
Yeah.
And the phone call said, Mao is going to be in Hawaii in a day.
Right. And it's such a great relationship that they have. And what was interesting, too, though, is Mao felt bad that he didn't he wanted to work with Nainoa. And he felt bad that he didn't have that opportunity because he left when they got to Tahiti. And
that's right.
So he did feel bad about
yes,
that.
He did.
So that might have weighed in a little on his decision.
Yes. And he knew knew the importance of voyaging to the oceanic people, of which his culture is a part of. The Caroline Islands are part of the Pacific culture. And he felt his skills were not being appreciated as well by his own people. And so he was confronting the problem of losing his own culture and losing his not finding students that wanted
right.
to come. And here were students in Hawaii, in a place that was almost virtually destroyed, the culture was almost lost, wanting to be his. And so he was drawn to this.
Yeah.
And actually, as a result of training these navigators in Hawaii, his students, the people that were not coming to him on his own island, started to come.
Yeah.
So it was this wonderful coming together of two two people from two different islands to revive their own culture.
Right. You were talking about Pinky Thompson, and you write, for Pinky, the voyage was about more than providing the scientific truth of his ancestors' seafaring skills. It was about rediscovering their ancient values. Pinky sounds like a really cool guy. I mean, just every time Nainoa goes to talk to him about whatever struggles and decisions, and he doesn't tell Nainoa what to do, but sort of presents, here are your choices.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a very quiet supporter. He gave Nainoa the opportunity to say, I'm going to Tahiti, or I'm not going to Tahiti, I'm going to learn, or I'm not going to learn. But once Nainoa had made that decision, then he stepped in to support his son full-time, full-on, mm-hmm. and make sure that he had all the tools that he needed to succeed. Because Pinky was one of the lost generation as well.
Right.
He'd grown up in this. He'd lost a lot of his language, and he saw his culture ebbing away. And he, as a social worker working among the least privileged of Hawaiians, knew how important pride was mm-hmm. To not just self-esteem, but to being healthy in all ways, physically, mentally. And he felt that Hokulea was probably the most important, not just symbol, but image that he could bring to his people that would encourage them to live a healthy physical and mental life.
Right. One of the things that's great about the story too is you feel like you're with them, and the part of when I know what he's doing with the stars. Did you have to like do a lot of homework on astrology, astronomy to figure out? Because there's a lot of detail in here about the sky.
Yeah. Well, I was able to make three voyages on the canoe.
Right.
And my job on the canoe, they call it we call it a kuleana. If you are privileged to be invited to be on that canoe, you have a responsibility to fulfill some mission. And my mission was to document, to write.
Mm.
And so I took voluminous notes, mm-hmm. and I sailed maybe 6,000 or 7,000 miles on the
wow.
canoe.
Yeah.
And I watched what Nainoa was doing. And then, if you go on your own computer, there are planetariums that you can use.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
I tried to recreate all that as well. So I was able to yeah. teach myself the stars.
All right. We don't have a lot of time left, but
okay.
I want to talk about doldrums.
Oh. Well, yeah, we're running out of time.
Yeah. Explain what that is.
Okay. On Nainoa's voyage, one of the areas of the Pacific that he was most afraid of was the doldrums, which is an area in which there's a convergence of wind patterns, and it causes an upwelling of air, and it's an area of storm. Well, it could be complete calm,
mm-hmm.
or it could be roaring gales and storm, and often you get these storms that just blot out the sky, and I know was very much afraid that when he got into the doldrums, this would happen. And indeed, this is what happened. I was going to read a part of this, but I don't think we have time.
We have a couple minutes. You can tell us what happens, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they went into the doldrums, and there was... Nainoa, as he was voyaging from Hawaii to Tahiti, went through what he calls doors of perception. There were moments in this voyage in which... he found himself in both a zone of concentration, as all athletes get into. You have to remember, he stayed up all mm-hmm. the time. He slept for 20 minutes
yeah,
at a time.
Yeah. Cat naps.
And he had no idea if he could do this. And on the first day, he discovered he could. And for this entire voyage, he just cat napped. That was one kind of door perception. The next one was discovering what he calls na'au. And na'au in Hawaiian means knowledge of the heart. It is the intuition. It is a kind of knowledge that you can't explain, which happened to him when they went into the doldrums. Here's this wall of cloud. They sailed into – he wanted to turn around and wait for this thing. But they kept on going, sailed into this wall of cloud. The sky blotted out. It was a terrific gusts of wind and rain blowing horizontally across the canoe. The canoe leaned over. He couldn't tell what direction he was going. And the canoe actually got turned around and headed back toward Hawaii, and he was completely panicked. And then he took a moment. He put his arms on the rail. he tried to relax, and he felt the moon. Couldn't see it, but he felt it on his shoulder. And he gave the order to turn the canoe around. And as he did, the sky parted just for a moment, and the moon came out.
Yeah.
And he calls this na'au. This was one of the first experiences that he had, that if you relax, if you let your instincts take hold, if you let your heart tell you where you are, you will find your way.
Yeah, and he does. And so where is she now? And there's been a lot of trips in between these now.
Oh, she sailed 140,000 miles. Hokulea is now in Honolulu. She's on the hard in dry dock. She's being swarmed over by her crew. She's preparing for one of her greatest voyages, which is around the world. So she will set off late May of this year. She will travel 40,000 miles. She will stop at 28 different ports. She will come to Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, wow, that's great.
I didn't tell you that Nino is my cousin.
No, I did not know that.
And so that gave me a lot of entree to mm-hmm. this, and I was able to spend hours with him. But when I visit my family in Hawaii, I stay in a family area with a number of houses. His house is right next door. And he promised he's coming to Vineyard Haven. Sorry, not Woods Hole, probably. But
it's okay. We can take the ferry over.
Yeah, you can.
And so will Nainoa be the navigator?
No, of course. Yeah. He'll be part of them. But there are now about 10 qualified navigators. So the voyage will be made in about 25 different links, and the different navigators will be in charge.
Wow. Well, it's a great story, great book, Hawaiki Rising, Sam Lowe. Sam, thanks so much for being here. I really enjoyed the book.
Thank you for the opportunity.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Amy Vins produces The Point, with assistance from Jenny Junker. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH.